I actually have done this message recently at another church, and I think there's a few folks here this morning that may have heard this message. But you know, the thing with this message is, or the messages that God gives you, is He changes them all the time. He'll tell you one thing when you go to one place and another thing when you go to another church, and the whole message may change around. And that's kind of what He did today, I think, is change the message around or added to it. Sister Carolyn, there's only one problem. The pulpit's not big enough. I need a table out here to put all my preaching notes on. So we'll see if I can stretch all these notes out, you know, and we'll get this thing going. But it's good to be here with you this morning. Again, pray for me as I want God to use me. And I hope that you get a blessing out of the message. And, you know, if there happens to be one here that doesn't know Jesus as Savior, that's the key goal. That's the key goal in what Brother Derek does, what I do, what Brother Adam's doing in the back this morning, is that souls will be saved and lives will be changed. That's the number one thing. So I pray that if this message is either a blessing to you in one way or the other, whether you come to know Jesus this morning as your Savior, or whether you're online or wherever, because this is something you can do right where you're at, in your living room, wherever you're at, you can ask Jesus to save you this morning. And I pray through this message you'll see the need for Jesus in your life. The title of the message this morning is going to be Teaching Moment. I was a little worried last week. I was away out of town at a family reunion last week, and Brother Derek started preaching, and I got a little concerned because he started preaching just prior to where I'm going to start at today. So I was a little bit concerned. He was fixing to preach all over what I was going to try and preach this week. Of course, he does a lot better job than I do, so y'all have been a lot more blessed by that probably than what I would do. But anyways, thankfully he didn't step all over the message. He was just a precursor to what I'll preach on this week. So I guess y'all really needed to hear this section of the Bible. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 14. Of course, he wasn't in Matthew last week. I believe he was in Mark. But Matthew chapter 14. We're going to be about verse 22 is where I'm going to start. Brother Derek spoke about feeding the 5,000 and going up into the mountain to get aside from everybody else. But we're going to take up pretty much where he left off at that point. And he spoke a little bit about this in the last week. I was getting a little concerned by the time he was finished, but he did finish up before I got to kick in my part of the message here. Matthew 14 and verse 22. Let's pray one more time. Father, this morning I need you. I need you more than ever, Lord. I want to do what is in your will for me this morning. I want it to be the words that you would have me speak, Lord, not the words that I would speak, but Lord, the words that you would have me to speak. And you know the hearts of your people, and you know the hearts of those that have not accepted you yet, Lord. And maybe that one word that I might say that would cause them to turn to you this morning. I pray that be the ultimate goal this morning. Lord, I pray you just forgive me of my sins. Take me out of the way this morning and use me in your service. In Jesus' name, amen. And in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22, the Bible says this, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away." Of course, he's fed the 5,000 and he's getting ready to send them away. "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." You ever had that time that you just need to be alone? If you do, guess what? Jesus was the same way. He needed that time alone. We need that time alone to ourselves sometimes. Just you and God, him and God. Of course, he was God, but he needed that closeness again. He had left his home. We got to remember, he had left his home, and he needed that portion of heaven to come to him that day. and that night. So if you think that you don't need to be away sometimes, you do need to be away. Everybody needs to get away from it. I'm not encouraging you to miss church or anything like that, but I'm encouraging you to get away sometime. You need that rest. You need that relaxation. You need that downtime. You need that alone time with God is what I'm trying to tell you. But in verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, you know, Peter is the one guy. I relate to Peter a lot. He would oftentimes open his mouth and insert his foot. I'm really good at that sometimes. So I relate to Peter very well. And it says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You know, with everything that the disciples, the apostles, had seen Jesus do, they had just seen feed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. But now they've decided, of a truth, that thou art the Son of God. You ever heard of the saying, thick-headed? I'm afraid some of these apostles might have been thick-headed. Because how many miracles does it take for you to finally believe and to finally say, this is God. This is the Son of God. What does it take to convince you this morning, this is the Son of God that we're talking about this morning? You know, I was 17 years old, and I knew I was sitting there in a pew. It wasn't this pew, but it was a little old church down on Orange Avenue. And I was sitting there in that pew, and the preacher spoke that night. It was a revival meeting. It was on a Tuesday night. And that preacher went to preaching, and I knew what he was saying was true. I knew Jesus was the Son of God. But, you know, I was so scared, and I was so stubborn that I wouldn't get up. I sat right there through the invitation, just holding on with all I could hold on to those pews, not wanting to leave. Oh, man, somebody's going to laugh at me. They're going to say something to me. Of course, you got to understand who I was. I was scared to stand before a crowd of people, kind of like I am now. I'm a little nervous, but not like I was then. I was just scared to death of folks. And I was sitting there, and I was holding on. I probably put indentions in those pews holding on so tight. But, you know, after the service, that preacher came to me, and he said, he just come up beside me, and he said, do you want to talk? And, you know, that's what it took. You know, I did want to talk. I wanted to talk about some more about what I just heard in that message. We went in his office, sat down. He took the Bible, and he showed me where that I was a sinner. I'm a sinner. Did y'all know that? I'm a sinner. You know what? You are too. He showed me in that Bible that God sent his Son to die for me. And you know, he didn't have to tell me that because I already knew that in my heart. I knew that already. But I just never had been willing to take that step to get out and walk and come to him. So he came to me. He came to me. But he showed me that that because of my sin, I was going to die and I was going to go into a place called hell. You know what? I don't want to go there. I didn't want to go there. And I'm not going there because of that preacher that night coming to me and saying, do you want to talk? You know, it's that easy. If you know somebody that's lost, it's just that easy. You don't have to do it, make a public scene out of it. You don't have to go up to them in the crowd and say, hey, come on, we got to talk. You don't have to call them out in front of a crowd of people. You can just simply say, can we talk? That's how easy it can be. Most folks know they're sinners. You don't have to tell them that. The Bible tells them that, and you can show them that in the Bible, but most folks already know that. A lot of folks out there know that Jesus came to this earth. They know that. The thing they don't know is what they've got to do. Sometimes folks think, well, I just got to be a good person and I'll get to heaven. It's not that. Some folks think that, well, I just got to pay enough to in the church offering and I'll go to heaven. It's not like that either. Then other folks think, well, I got to work my way to heaven. It's not like that either. None of the above is going to get you into heaven. Nothing but asking Jesus to save you is going to get you into heaven. Say it can't be that simple. Well, I'm telling you it is. It's just that simple. I've done about preach a whole message right here, and Sister Carolyn said amen. But I have not preached a whole message. We're going to go back. We're going to go back and start all over again. Now, Jesus came to them when they were in need. You know, when he went up into that mountain apart, he knew what the weather was going to do that night. Before he ever put them in that boat, before he ever put them in that ship, he knew what the weather was going to do. He knew it. But yet he put them in it. You know, I saw the other day something that just, I don't know if it's true or not, but it was talking about a young girl that was going to sue her parents because they didn't get her permission for her to be born. And I'm like, what in the world is this world come? How in the world are they going to get her permission if she's not born? But that was what it said, and I don't know if it's true or not, but if it is, I knew this world was mixed up, but it's really mixed up when you got a child going to sue their parents because they didn't get permission for them to be born. And I get off on that subject, and I'll completely lose where I'm at here. But Jesus knew what the wind was going to do that night. He knew this, it was going to be rough out there. You know, this world's a mess. We didn't ask to be born. No, we didn't. But we're here. We're in the midst of this messed up situation that's going on in not just this country. Don't think it's just this country. It's the whole world. The whole world's messed up. We're living in some troubling times. But Jesus knew. He knows. If you're a child of God, Jesus knows what we're going through. He knows every situation that we're facing. He knows every situation we're going to face. And he's in control. Let me tell you that. He's in control. You simply look at the last verse, or close to the last verse, and it says I got to find where I'm at. I've lost some place in the Bible here. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. You know, we all should have that same attitude. With Jesus on board with us, the winds are going to cease. We're going to go through troubled times. Don't let me tell you, I'm not telling you this morning, if you're a child of God, that you're not going to go through some troubling times. We all do. You see, there was a thing that was introduced in the Garden of Eden called sin. And because of that sin, we're going to go through some troubles. This is a sin-cursed earth. We're going to go through some troubling times in our lives because of sin. Maybe not because of your sin, but the world around us is full of sin. Not something that you're doing wrong or I'm doing wrong, but just this, the earth itself is cursed, has that sin curse on it. But as long as Jesus is on board, we can trust that the winds will cease. It will get calmer. Maybe a hard time right now. Maybe troubling times right now for you. But the winds will cease for you. I can promise you that. I can promise you that. As my wife likes to say, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. And when the disciples, in verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake. You see that? But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. You know, there's something about the voice of Jesus that can calm us. Can I tell you, he's telling you that today. If you're going through some troubled times, some trouble in your life, be of good cheer. It is I, he said. Be not afraid. Every challenge in life that we face, every challenge, not just the big ones, the small ones even, be of good cheer. He's with you. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. You know, having this stuff on called flesh makes it hard. Because we do. We fret. We fret. You know, Jade, I just thought about something. That little one's getting to hear me preach. You got to hear me preach so many years ago. Maybe this is her first message she's got to hear, so that's pretty good right there. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And then old Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto the water. You know, I said Peter was good about opening his mouth and inserting his foot. But you know something about Peter? He was the only one that had the courage to say that. He was the only one that would step out of the boat. You know, that's us. We don't want to step out of the boat. Because you know, out there, it's rough. It's easy in here to walk amongst Christian people. But out there, oof, that's a scary place. Those people might be offended at what we have to say. We live in a world where everybody's offended about something. But I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather folks be offended out there at what I've got to say about Jesus. And here, me tell them about Jesus. So they can't say one day, well, you never told me about him. You never told me that there was a Savior. You never told me that I was going to die and go to hell. Well, I'm telling you right now, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you're going to die and go to hell. If that offends you, I'm sorry. You know, Brother Derek said this a while back. I had a lady one time, when I was a youth minister, she got offended because I preached hell in children's chapel. Can I tell you something? I preached about hell in children's chapel. Well, they might be afraid. I hope they're afraid now. Because when they get to that place called hell, they're going to be even more afraid. I'd rather tell them about it now and warn them about hell right now. I'd rather warn you right now about hell before you attempt to go there. Because it is a scary place. You think out there scary? That ain't nothing. That ain't nothing out there. All the troubling circumstances that we go through in this life is not troubling compared to hell. I'm here to tell you that right now. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that's where you're headed. You need to accept Him before it's too late. And I need to tell you how, don't I? And He said, come. And Peter, when he was come, you know, that's bringing that up. And he said, come. You know, the first time I ever preached, I was scared to death. I'm still scared to death, but I do children. I don't do adults. That was my calling, was young people. And that wasn't even my call. I didn't even know what my calling was. It just by chance, I stumbled into a position to do a message in a children's chapel one time. Wasn't supposed to be there, wasn't supposed to be doing the message, but I did. And you know, I found out that was what God had called me to do. And I did it for nearly 20 years. That was my calling. Now, I've got too old to deal with the kids. I don't have the patience I used to have. My wife used to tell me, she said, I don't know how you do it. Because it was my calling. Have you searched out what your calling is in life? It may not be to children. It may be to adults. It may not be to any one specific thing. But God's got a calling on everybody's life. If you're saved, if you're born again, God has a calling for you. I don't know what it is. I can't. That's between you and God. I can't tell you what that calling is. Only you can get with God. You remember we were talking about that a long time? There's when you find out. There's when you find out. When you have that alone time with God, that's when you find out what your calling is. And he said, come, in verse 29. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And he walked on the water. Unassisted, he walked on the water. All the apostles probably would say, Peter, you failed. But guess what? Peter walked on water. They never tried. They never got up. They never said, if it be you, bid me to come. He did. You know, I'm afraid that we let our fears in life stop us from doing what God has called us to do, what God has, I don't know the word I'm looking for, God has prepared us to do. I never knew until I stepped into that first children's chapel that I could speak to young people because I've never done it before. I had a fear of standing before anybody, kids, adults, didn't matter. I've said it before. I was the kid in fifth grade that I played to be sick because I was a tree in the play at school. Scared to death to stand in front of people, even though I was a tree. Didn't have any speaking words. I was a tree. How much simpler can it get than to be a tree? But I was scared to death, and I wouldn't do it. I was sick that day. God forgive me for that one. I wasn't no more sick than anything, but I pretended to be. Y'all stop laughing. Don't encourage me. But then we come to verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. You know, I'm afraid that's all we look at sometimes. Before we ever take that step out of the boat, we look at the wind and we look at the, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. I can't do that. Before we even try something, we say, I can't do it. Let me tell you something. If God gives you the notion to do something, he will empower you to do something. He will empower you to do that very thing that he has told you to do. The word I was looking for a while ago was equip. He tells you to do something, he'll equip you for the job that he tells you to do. So don't ever say and look around and say, well, I can't do that. It's too hard. The winds are blowing. You see, the winds here represent the world. You see, Peter, what happened to Peter was he took his eyes off the Lord and looked at the circumstances around him. You know, if we look at our circumstance around us, yeah, it looks tough. It looks tough. But let me tell you something. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. Focus on him. Let him equip you to do what he's called you to do. Don't worry about what this one's going to say or that one's going to say or what people might think of you. Do what he has told you to do, what he has equipped you to do, and you'll do just fine. Say, well, they might not like me. So what? They'll like you a lot better if they ever step into that pit of hell. They'll say, I should have listened. I should have listened. But I want you to notice something here in the last of that verse. Peter cried out saying, Lord, save me. And then I want you to look in the next verse, the beginning of the next verse. You see that? And immediately. You see, Jesus didn't wait until Peter was underwater, till he was sucking for his last breath. He didn't do that. It was immediate. You know, salvation is just like that. Salvation comes to you just like that. I want to show you something else. You see anywhere there where it says that Peter did anything besides cried out? He didn't do anything else. You see, I'm going to tell you something. We've got to take a step to be saved. We've got to cry out from our hearts to God's heart. We've got to cry out and say, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. You see, it's not anything that we can do that's going to save us. You see, Peter could have started trying to combat the waves, still with the wind like it was and the seas boisterous. He wasn't going to be able to save himself. He simply had to cry out for the one that he knew could save him. Can I tell you something? There's only one person that can save you. And that person is not a person. It is God. It is the Son of God. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Only through Jesus, only through his sacrifice on the cross. Not by your good works, not by the money you'll put in the offering plate, not by your church membership or baptism, anything, nothing like that. Can't work your way to heaven. In Ephesians 2:8, the Bible says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, if there was some way I could I could get to heaven on my own, I'd want to boast about it. Well, I did that. No. There ain't anything I can do to get myself into heaven except by simply calling out to Jesus. He'll save me. He'll save you. He's the only way. Only way you're going to get to heaven. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. Immediately. If you're here this morning, you're watching online, and you've never asked Jesus to save you, can I tell you this? Call out to him this morning. You've got to make that step. He made the step already. He made the first step. A bunch of steps. He walked up that hill called Calvary. He toted the cross. He hung on the cross. He bled his life's blood for us. He took the first step. Now you've got to make a step by simply calling out, as Peter did, "Save me." Would you call on Jesus this morning? Would you do that? Simply from your heart to God's heart, say, "God, I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for me. I ask you to save me right now." Would you do that this morning? Have you done that? That's the key thing. Have you done that? You know, I've known folks that have sat in a church pew for years and years. An older fella in a church out in Mississippi. He was a deacon in the church. He sat there for years, a deacon in church now. Finally, one day, he stepped out of that pew and he went to the preacher. And he said, "Preacher, I need to be saved." He said, "What are you talking about? You've been a deacon for years." He said, "Yeah, but I never accepted Jesus as my Savior." Being a deacon isn't going to do it. Sitting in a church pew isn't going to do it. Simply by calling on Jesus, what's going to do it? Now I'm going to get back to the message. Teaching moment. Teaching moment. You know, Brother Derek talked about it a few weeks ago. As Jesus was going to the Garden of Gethsemane that night, he was still teaching. All the way to the garden. He was teaching. "I am the vine, ye are the branches." All the way up to the cross, he was still teaching. Everything Jesus did was a teaching moment. Whether it be feeding the 5,000, healing the sick, raising the dead, whatever it was a teaching moment. But more than that, it was a faith builder for those that saw it. You see, I didn't see Jesus raise the dead. I didn't see him heal those that were sick. I didn't see any of that. But you know what? I read about it. And you know what? I know it's true. I know it's true. In Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Beginning of verse 1. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." Now look at this. Key verse. "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up." You remember what Jesus did for Peter to save him? He stretched forth his hand. Would you say the student had learned something? He reached forth his hand. "He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." How thankful are we to God for what he's done for us? He's done so much for all of us, really and truly. He gave you the breath that you're breathing right now. If it wasn't but just that, there's just that. He gave us a simple breath of life. What are we going to do with that life? What are we going to do with our life? Are we going to go about being those teachers? You see, the student, Peter, learned well. And then he, you know, doesn't go on from there and say that this guy went on to help other people. But I have a feeling that he did. He wanted to pay back what had been done for him. But you notice the first place he went was to church. First thing he went was to church. You know, Brother Andy talked about it a little bit earlier. Church isn't hard. We come, sit down. I remember back when I was a kid sitting on some hard pews. No air conditioner. The old church fans are going. Preachers had to talk loud back then. They didn't have these funny things put around their head. Didn't have microphones. They had to holler. Sitting there sweating to death. You know, the church house seemed fuller back then to me. Why is that? The more luxury we have, it seems like the less we appreciate it. What if we went back to the old hard pews? No air conditioners. Just old church fans. Would we see folks appreciating more what they have now? Just makes me wonder. In closing, you know, as I said before, I was a youth minister for some 20 years, or close to 20 years. Simply by accident that I ended up doing that. Several years ago, I got an email from a young lady that was much like Jade, was one of my, I called them my kids. I still call them my kids. But I got a letter from this young lady. Email, whatever it was. And it reads like this, and I won't put her name in there. It says, "Brother Ronnie, it has been a long time. How are you? Jesus is doing great things in my life right now, and you come to mind a lot when I'm doing Bible study. I remember things you preached to us, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me at the age of 13 and 14. But now at 24, your words make much sense." And she closed it with, "The Bible is a wonderful thing." if I didn't teach any kids anything. I taught her. I hope there's a lot of others out there like her that I taught well. But I hope the main thing that I taught them was that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I hope if I've not taught you anything today other than this, Jesus is the only way to heaven. Without him, you're not going to make it. None of us would have made it without him. What he did on that cross at Calvary, shedding his last blood for our sins. What kind of teachers will you be? You see, we're all called to teach. We all have something we can teach others. What will we teach? What will we teach? Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I hope we are doing that. You see, the youth program is very important. Because a lot of times if we don't get them when they're young, they're going to get so hard-hearted, as Brother Andy talked about Pharaoh being, so they're just not going to listen anymore when they get older. The youth program is so important. And I'm appreciative for Brother Adam and what he does with the youth here. And for all those youth workers that are around, the Sunday school teachers, all of those, for what they teach and what they do. But it's our job too, not just theirs. It's our job. I hope you've got a blessing by the message today. But I hope most of all you realize that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Without him, we're not going to make it. So if you're here this morning, I don't know what's on your heart, what's on your mind this morning. Maybe you need to come to the altar and pray. If you'd like me to pray with you, I'd be glad to pray with you. I'm really nothing but a sinner saved by grace, just like you are. But if I can help you with anything, if I can pray with you, I'll be glad to do so. If you would stand. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Can you see that cross today? Are you aware of what happened on that cross? Our Savior bled and died on that cross. He shed his life's blood for us, that we could go to heaven, that we could be saved from that place called hell. Do you need to come today? Do you need to unite your heart with God this morning? Would you come? I thank you this morning for your attention. I hope I didn't bore you too long, but I hope I gave you a valuable message this morning. There are people out there that just need a hand up. Are we going to be the ones that give them that hand up? The best thing we can ever do for them is tell them about Jesus. That's the best thing we can do. Brother Andy, would you close with a word of prayer, please, sir?